This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
What's up, Shoes?
I think it goes without saying that The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, mm-hmm. is the biggest star in pro wrestling right now.
Yes. Maybe in history.
That's my question for you.
Oh, okay.
2024, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
Versus peak Hulk Hogan versus peak Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who's the biggest star?
I'll say this, man. And I say this for everything.
And listen, The Rock, I mean, you can say, I'm just going to say, The Rock's fame is bigger than pro wrestling. I'm not trying to make the case that he's the most important wrestler right. or whatever. I'm just saying, man on the street, I know that guy.
Okay. I'll say this, man. And I say this with a lot of stuff in media in 2024. Everybody can be famous for like a minute, right? Mm-hmm. That's the good thing and the bad thing of social media, the world, internet, all that type of stuff. There's a different level of fame for Stone Cold Steve Austin when it was like cable TV, TV guide, that type of stuff. To still be this famous in 2024 and this relevant and this much of a needle mover. I mean, we're in Philadelphia. We're in person for the first time all year. And, you know, not to say that it wouldn't have been a big deal without him, but golly, you could definitely feel the difference in the city knowing that this dude is back part of WrestleMania and WWE. So, I mean, listen, I'm going to go with Rock right now, man. Was he just at the Oscars like the day after like smacking mm-hmm. up Cody Rhodes? Yeah. Like that's as big as Stone Cold Steve Austin was, as big as Hulkamania was. They wasn't doing that type of stuff. So I'm going to go with Rocky 2024.
I'll just say this.
And hopefully it didn't sound like
Peak Stone Cold was cooler.
Yes. Okay. Was he?
I mean, this is from my point of view. Also from my point of view.
I was also 12.
In like 1985, the world seemed a lot smaller. Maybe that's from my point of view because I was a child. I always do this with my kids. Mm. You'll see this. It's like sometimes your kids are like flipping out about something.
Yeah.
And you're just like, God, just like, can we just move on?
Yeah.
And I say to my wife, I'm just like, you know what? And this applies to the teen as well as the five-year-old. I'm like, the five-year-old, like, there's only like 10 things that he knows about. So he's going to lose his mind when you like pop his balloon. Like, that's one of his 10 things. We have a million things, you know?
Yeah.
So for me as a kid, it did seem like Hulk Hogan was as big a deal as The Rock is right now.
I don't know. Hulk Hogan wasn't singing like, what can I say except you're welcome?
Yeah,
like
a cartoon.
My kids.
Yeah, they had a Saturday morning cartoon.
He had no hit jingles like that. You know what I mean? Like he had the cartoon, but the jingle game.
Real American isn't a jingle.
He wasn't singing that. What was the dude's name that sang Real American?
Rick Springfield.
Dillinger. Whatever his name was. Hogan wasn't cutting no tunes. He couldn't carry no voice. You know, The Rock, you get hitting the show tunes, man.
I don't know, man. You ask Hogan. He was up there singing on stage with Elvis. You know, he was rocking out with the Rolling Stones.
All he's missing is the jazz hands, bro. Like, if The Rock didn't have the jazz hands, he'd be full on show tunes, but he's muscular, so it's probably hard.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, we got a lot of famous people to talk about. Let's start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to the
Masked Man Show. Welcome to the Masked Man Show with Kaz. It's good to see you, buddy.
It's good to see you. I love this part of the year. Oh my gosh, the microphone almost dropped. We're in person. We're in Philly. Where are we? Where are we? We're in the undisclosed hotel. In an undisclosed room in Philadelphia.
The barricades are already being set up outside. I think the world knows where we are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You needed a felt like Fort Knox getting into this place, but this is where we are. And, man, we're in person doing the Ringer Wrestling Show, Masked Man Show. Incredible week of fun stuff ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And golly, it's WrestleMania week, man. That's what we do it for.
We're going to do our predictions for the main events. We have a bunch of interviews today that'll be posted on this feed later today and tomorrow. Throughout the weekend, right? Oh yeah, we have interviews through all the way through Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be posting all that stuff. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. There'll be crowds involved. It'll be nuts. So
could be on
stay
the main
tuned.
Stage later today. It's going to be fun.
Oh my gosh!
Big crowds.
My biggest performance yet.
until tonight, until Wally Mania.
Wally Mania, I just recede into the background. I don't count that. That's like hazing.
It counts. That's my favorite part, by the way, just like forcing you on stage in front of all these unruly black wrestling fans.
Exactly. You're like, we weren't planning on dancing, but just to make David uncomfortable, let's just do something fun. Okay. Anyway, WrestleMania is here. We did all our predictions earlier this week on Monday.
Yeah.
Except for the main events. I would like to say we were also picking what night they were, and I probably should have come out stronger with my thoughts because I think I was 100% right.
I think you nailed them. Yeah. I was looking. I was like, I think we got a good bunch of the first nights.
Let's just run through it.
Okay.
And we'll get to the picks, but I just want to run through the card just to see if anything jumps out at you in terms of sequencing. They've already announced that the night one opening match will be Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch.
Good call. Like that.
I don't know if this whole is the entire sequence set in stone or just announced opening and closing matches.
Well,
right?
I do remember Becky saying how much she really wanted to open the show, which is like the telltale. If I can't main event, I'd love to be the first match sort of thing.
As a parent of a young child, I would like to open the show too and then just like get back to the hotel room.
And
you know,
just hang. Yeah.
So Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch is opening the show. Then Gunther and Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. Then the six-pack tag team ladder match, which, congratulations, Brian Waters, has officially been announced that the belts are splitting. Well, I think
The match will continue until both belts are
so
grabbed.
One team could get both belts.
One team could grab one set of belts. Another team could grab another set of belts.
That changes the calculus. We picked it this way.
Yeah.
But the way that we discussed it was that it wouldn't be announced ahead of time, and it would be some sort of comical finish with R-Truth getting one half of it and someone else, whatever, which is still a great call.
Yeah.
But the fact that they announced it, I think, changes the calculus a little bit. Like, I could see a world in which the Judgment Day grabs one of the sets of belts first.
Okay.
And it's just sort of like, we're the institution, we're the big heels, now we're going to go get our second set of belts, and then that's where the drama comes from.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they get to keep half, but then there's going to be a new one.
Now, are they going to be, I don't know if we'll know this, but like, are they going to be hanging from two separate things, or like, is somebody going to go climb and try to grab one, and as they're grabbing both, like, one gets knocked down and there's still one up there?
My guess is they'll be hanging from the same contraption, but like on different ends.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like a seesaw.
Yeah, like a wishbone, right?
Yeah,
like,
a wishbone. That would be great.
You just got to get
the wishbone ladder match
for the tag team titles. That could be fun.
Whoever gets the big half gets to pick which belt they want.
Yeah, you know.
Okay,
which is always crazy.
So we got Judgment Day, DIY, Awesome Truth, New Day, A-Town Down Under, and New Catch Republic. New Catch Republic getting a huge look in terms of their relative newness, right? A lot of the quote unquote younger teams didn't make it into this match.
No.
Pretty Deadly's not in. Street Profits aren't in. There's a lot of people you would expect who you might have expected to be in this match.
For sure.
Even AOP, you know, you could have seen them playing a big role in a match like this. They're not in it. So New Catch Republic getting a really good look here. Who do you think gets the biggest pop grabbing one of the sets of belts of all those teams.
I mean, there's a lot of stories to tell in this match, right? Like, I think, you know, you got New Day, who are probably the most established tag team out of the
way this match is set up. The New Day are in pull position.
Feels like they're going to get one of these, right?
Well, or just pull position for like having the crowd behind them.
Okay.
I mean, I think that, to me, it's R-Truth is probably the far and away number one in terms of crowd reaction, grabbing a belt.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a league of his own.
I mean, now that you said it, I feel like there's got to be a moment where he gets one Raw belt and one SmackDown belt, and he's just and he's just a tag team champion for like two different people. So like they just sort of share R-Truth as like their tag team partner.
Is there any chance that he grabs a belt for the Judgment Day in this match?
Nah, they've been beating his ass the past couple of weeks. Yeah. Maybe he's kind of been off that. I don't know.
But I think Awesome Truth takes one, and I think the other one's interesting. Either stay with the institution of the Judgment Day, or you go with the New Day onto a new look team like DIY, who obviously are not rookies here, but right. You know, in terms of their time together on
first WrestleMania though,
yeah, and or A-Town Down Under. I mean, when you talk about Awesome Truth, you can just imagine these two guys, you know, in the press conference with the belts. Two legit dudes,
mm-hmm.
Longtime veterans. A-Town Down Under is kind of the rookie version of that, right? Where it's like they are just two of the stars of the future, right?
Yeah.
So like, let's put some gold around their waist.
Yeah. If you would have asked me this several months ago, this would have been my no-brainer pick. I'm like, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, this is a tag team that you want to build around. They got some personality. They're beefing with Joey Swole on social media, like, you know, they got it. They figured it out. Now, obviously,
I think Joey Swole thing was so great because so many people didn't know who he was, so they right. thought it was a shoot.
Right, like, exactly.
It actually really worked.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ben and Cal yesterday, and Dip said they got to change their name. It's time for a real tag team name. Or no. He said it's time for them to be a real tag team.
Okay.
And I said, and they have to have a new name.
What's wrong with A-Town Down Under?
I hate mashup tag team names. There are exceptions. There are exceptions. But in general, if you're really a tag team, you got to be like the Midnight Express.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
You got to have like a tag team name that's like separate from your personality.
They're the only team that's a mashup team name, I think. Well, Awesome Truth.
Awesome Truth is one.
But yeah, you got New Day, DIY.
Well, and even like in NXT, you got the Wolf Dogs. I don't mind the Wolf Dogs because it's so obscure.
Shout out Bron Breakker. I saw him on the way up here as well. Big, big Wolf Dog guy.
Bron Breakker's a big... big hotel lobby guy. I'm not saying he's chilling in the lobby, but I've seen Bron Breakker way
every
more
year.
Times in real life.
Chilling. He's awesome, yeah. Though. He'll be on WWE Ultimate with me this week with Baron Corbin, which is really, really fun. We catch that on Peacock.
But I don't mind the Wolf Dog so much because it actually sounds like a dumb name you might come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, dumb in the nicest possible sense. A-Town Down Under, I would rather them just be like the Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah, okay.
You know, or just something like that. Hollywood Blondes would actually be hilarious because just like with the Austin Pillman version, they aren't from Hollywood.
And it would be hilarious because they'd probably feel like they came up with it on their own. Mm-hmm. Just run with it. Like, yeah, Hollywood Blondes. Nobody's ever called themselves this. This works.
But anyway... So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. If I had to make a pick now, I mean, who did we pick before? We just picked Miz.
I think we picked Awesome. I think we picked Awesome Truth at one point. But
I'm tempted to go Awesome Truth and A-Town Down Under as much as I just dislike the name. And A-Town, okay, I'm not going to keep going on the name. It's a fine name.
You hate the name.
But because they're splitting,
a fine name,
because they're splitting it up, I think I'm tempted to say Judgment Day retains. Although... are we moving towards a cash-in? Do we need to do more with the Judgment Day? Are we going to see that little fractioning with the faction? Maybe not. All right, who knows? Anyway, we also have Jay versus Jimmy Uso, night one. We called that the Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control match.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a big match. It'll be interesting to see how much time, well, all of these matches get, but how much time they give a match like that, which is a little bit of a showcase, a lot of a showcase, I should say, but also it's got six of your real notable names in it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, do they get 20 minutes because they just, like, you know, it's you add up all the, you know, all the people and that's what they deserve? Or is this going to be more like 11 minutes and like, five of those are Jade Cargill press slams?
Yeah, it feels like it. I mean, I don't know. this is going to be a match that is going to feel like it needs to be a showcase, right? Like, it didn't seem like the Jade Bianca Trinity thing is going to be a one night, let's get together for WrestleMania to get Damage Control out of here sort of thing. So I don't see it going longer than 10 minutes. I still think it's going to be, I forgot which betting company that, you know, does wrestling odds, but according to that betting company, that match has the largest favorite odds of any match.
Really?
On the WrestleMania card. Yeah, Jade Bianca.
That doesn't surprise me too much.
Yeah.
We can go ahead and start the Kyrie Sane prayer circle right now, because that woman is going to get slammed by so many people.
Yes. Oh my. All three of them, honestly.
All three of them?
Yeah.
But you know that, like,
Asuka's going to give some work in.
Kairi Sane and Jane Cargill are practicing all the different ways she can pick her up impressively right now.
It's like, it's like, you know, they're practicing like Tracy McGrady off the backboard, like alley-oops to each other.
Exactly.
Like, how are we going to play catch with these two human beings and really make some WrestleMania moments? Yeah.
I'm excited to see what offense Asuka gets in this match, how strong they can make her look. Because obviously she's well-liked and by the fans and the office. So that'll be
good. Get the Bianca typical WrestleMania entrance?
Well, I think I think they come out as a trio, honestly. I think, you know, Bianca's kind of had she's had some incredible entrances over the year. And I feel like, you know, them three coming out together is going to be a moment. So I don't think they're going to be, you know, separate joints. Like, I think there's going to be something real special planned for all three of those to have a moment. And, yeah, man, it's going to be fire. I think it's going to be fire. But, yeah, I think they're winning this cleanly and handily. And, you know.
I'm saying negative 2,000.
Negative 2,000? Yeah, you're not making.
Oh, really?
You ain't making no money.
Minus 2,000? Okay, I think the entrance. I bet that we'll do, like, Naomi will come out. I'm not a music argument guy, but I don't know why they changed her music.
Listen, man, we're not going to have any Def Rebel slander today. They get plenty of it online.
Was there a technical reason why they changed it? Did we think Naomi actually wanted some new music?
So I think, I mean, someone could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, you know, CFO, like all the CFO themes.
Oh, that was a CFO song?
Yeah.
Okay, like, so we understand.
So I think it was time to move on from all the other joints.
I bet she comes out first, little blacklight thing. Then maybe, do we do Jade, like, joints her on stage with that incredible Jade entrance that we kind of got previewed, and then Bianca comes out with, like, you know, whatever university band or you know.
Yo, listen, where are we? We're in Philadelphia?
I'm trying to think of the HBCU around here.
I'm thinking,
there's like Cheney University or whatever. There's some like.
Right. We either getting some super Philly, or I think we're getting like something super Beyonce Destiny Child, right? Yeah. Like, get some Cowboy Carter in there.
Well,
get
Boys
some
to Men. Boys to Men was Boys at WrestleMania 15.
Okay, we can do Boys to Men. That could be something.
Are they still doing it?
Are they still performing? I think I saw them on a commercial.
I saw them on a commercial.
Was it Snickers? I think they had a Snickers commercial recently. I don't know.
And that's towards the end of the card, too, so the lights would be darker.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get the Naomi interest, like you said, and the Jade interest.
This is a great question. If Boyz II Men was going to do one opening, one intro, what is this the match?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wait, the Philly Street Fight, though, with the Profits and Lashley?
Yeah.
They might want to intro that.
That would be the greatest thing ever if they just have them doing, like,
singing End of the Road? At the end of the, oh my God, that'd be hilarious.
Every time there's a massive spot, I just want those guys in three-part harmony doing like, ow!
I need to hear that again. Oh my God. That'll be comedy.
Yes.
Jeez Louise. All right, yeah, Boyz II Men coming out with the Street Profits. And then what? I guess the Bibles of Tomorrow? What is the name?
The Final Testament.
The Bibles of Tomorrow.
That's a better name.
That's a better name. The Bibles of Tomorrow. They'll come out to like Led Zeppelin or something. Like, it'll be a nice contrast. But yeah, I think Jade, Bianca, Trin, and then Naomi, I think they win this one pretty handily.
Of course, yeah. And then we got the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos and Dirty Dom in just a straight-up tag team match. We discussed that already. And then here we go. Your night one main event, the Bloodline, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Now, there's a lot going on here.
Yes.
Since The Rock and Roman Reigns joined forces, we have been looking at all of the potential telltale signs of a split, right? Reading between the lines, trying to read the tea leaves. This is like, when and if this split happens, you could do a, you could break this down like people break down The Shining. Have you seen that documentary? What is it? Room, whatever it is about The Shining, where it's like all the conspiracy theories, all like the, like, did this mean this? Like when he wore that sweater, were they trying to, like, anyway.
Yeah.
You could break this down like crazy. From the very beginning, The Rock with the point, but it's the loser symbol.
He held that thumb in this past Monday. Like he was holding it pretty tight. So,
but it was interesting. But the new one is that when they posed at the end of their segment, you know, the Roman held up his title belt and The Rock held up
the nightmare belt, yeah.
Which is, of course, meaningful either way you look at it, because this is the belt he's going to, you know, attack Cody with and give to Mama Rhodes. But you could also read into it that he's holding up who he's really on, whose team he's really on.
I don't know.
I mean, it says Cody Rhodes right there.
Yeah, but he's been whooping his ass for the past several weeks. Like, if they were, like, avoiding each other for the past couple of weeks, I'd be like, okay, like, maybe there's something more going on. But, like, they've been really dropping the fact on, like...
Well, I asked the other day if wrestlers in kayfabe know how to fake wrestle. Like, if wrestlers in kayfabe...
They know how to pull their punches a little bit for the story's sake.
Regardless of whether your feelings on that question, you could definitely make the case that The Rock in kayfabe knows how, because he's an actor.
Of course.
He's like, he does his own stunts, I'm sure. You know, like, he knows how to whip somebody with a leather belt and make it not sting as much. You see him whipping the referee...
That's a slippery slope. Yeah, he did. The ref kind of like ran like a scalded dog after he got whipped in the match. But I mean, that's a slippery slope. I think I'm gonna leave it into the hands of what I'm supposed to be seeing.
Yeah, one of my biggest pet peeves in wrestling are turns that happen after violence has obviously
occurred. Yes.
Right? Where it was like, where you have like a tag team match and one of the guys turns at the very end and joins up with the other team. And it's like, you guys were just wrestling for an hour.
That was my only gripe with WrestleMania X8 and The Rock and Hulk Hogan, right? Like they shook hands, they got the Hulkamania moment, even though Hulk Hogan ran him over with a semi-truck like 3 weeks earlier.
That's a little bit different than what I'm talking about, but I agree.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I think that this is where you could go without as much complaint.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out that The Rock was fake beating up Cody Rhodes, I think that people would be legitimately annoyed.
This is BS, yeah.
But despite everything they've been through, if by the end of night two they end up somehow on the same side of things, you know, mutual respect, common grievance, whatever, that would make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got the Bloodline. So the question is, how much story do we get on night one? Everybody's picking the Bloodline to win.
Yeah.
What are the odds on that one? Brian, you want to look that up? Just because it sets up the drama for night two. No matter what you're going to do in Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, a Cody Rhodes loss on night one ups the stakes for night two.
Makes it
feel like that's the moment is bigger.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Bloodline -700, Cody and Seth +400.
Right.
Yeah,
so
those are some big odds.
Those are big
heavy
odds.
Heavy favorites.
There's also the question about whether or not Seth Rollins is committed to his friendship with Cody Rhodes. As you pointed out, he's been wearing a lot more black lately.
Yep.
If we're looking for omens, there you go.
And he's got a title to defend, man. Like, I've always just thought during that match, he's going to have to think, yo, do I really want to help this guy who's kind of beating my ass and, you know, we're getting our ass beat together, or do I got to just live to fight another day, which is tomorrow when I got Drew McIntyre.
Speaking of which, do you think is there any chance that Drew or CM Punk will be involved in this match, or are they going to save all that for the real match on night two?
I don't think we get them. I think maybe Drew. I feel like we saw Drew and Paul Heyman, that little Easter egg on the Raw, but I don't think Punk will be involved, but I don't think you need him involved. I don't think you need...
No, I don't either. It's just how schmazzy are we going to make this?
I think we save the schmazziness for a Sunday. Like, I think when you've set up... I think this entire tag team match is to really put Cody through the hard times that we've been talking about for over a year now. Like, I've always said the reason why I wasn't ready for Cody, because this whole thing's been about hard times, and he hasn't been through real hard times yet. And you could set Cody up to be the biggest underdog in the history of underdogs going into WrestleMania. I mean, it's going to be Bloodline rules the next night. I think you set it up to a point where Seth is incapacitated, Jay.
So Bloodline rules just means anything goes?
Anything goes. That's what it seems like. But I just think he walks into the lions then, knowing that, like, yo, it's an impossible mountain to climb. How is he going to climb it? Or how close is he going to get to climbing it before he either succumbs to it or, you know, prevails?
I feel like if I was the Bloodline, I'd want to put my name on a match with a little bit more, something different.
Something, right? Like
the Freebird rule is cool. There's never going to be another. That's what we'll always talk about the Freebirds because, you know, there's three guys defending a tag team title. It's switching out people. I want people to still say a Bloodline rules match 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Let's give it some personality.
I feel like the Bloodline rules match, outside of it just being anything goes, needs Bloodline in it. Like, it needs to. This whole thing started because Cody.
Yeah, I think we'll
disrespected get that. The Rock's family. And I think that match has to be full of Anuais and Fatus and from all walks of the world. Like, you need every single drop of Samoan blood surrounding that ring. And then watching Cody walk in there all alone with the spotlight on him. Be like, yo, this is your last chance, dude. You don't just got to go through the most dominant champion of all time. You got to go through his cousin, who is your boss, and these droves of Samoans that are sitting there waiting to beat your ass at a moment's notice.
Can I just interrupt?
Go for it.
Sorry, I clicked on Bloodline Rules match on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Just to see if there was any stipulations that I was missing. It went straight to no disqualification match in the professional wrestling match types page.
Gotcha.
And right underneath that is something called, you may have heard of this, the Piranha Death Match.
What?
A fish tank containing piranhas placed in the center of the ring, and the first wrestler who gets put in the tank for 10 seconds, not just dip a toe in, loses. It only happened one time ever, Big Japan, Summer Night Dream in Yokohama, September 96.
So the first person to dip their toe in the piranha water?
No. They said not just a toe. You have to be in the tank for 10 seconds to lose.
Wow. And it was real piranhas in this.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know what to tell
Listen, you're giving people some crazy ideas for Extreme Rules 2024.
This would be terrible. Mm-hmm. Are piranhas in real life as bad as they were in our childhood, or is it like quicksand? Like one of those things that like was just a thing in cartoons.
I'm pretty sure piranhas really do eat flesh.
Yeah, but if it was a shoot piranha tank and you were in there for 10 seconds, are you dead? Like, are you just a skeleton after that? Because how it was conveyed to me as a child.
Is it like Bugs Bunny, Super Mario Brothers piranhas, or there's like, you know, they'll nibble on you, but they're not going to leave you like bone.
Do they bite chunks out, or are they just nibbling?
I've never been bitten by piranha. I've seen fish bite people, and I've never seen them like tear up like flesh, unless it was like a shark or something.
I have been led to believe through the cartoons of my childhood that you would be just a straight up skeleton.
If Acme has taught me anything in my life, is that piranhas love human flesh, and they will leave you stripped down to the bone.
Yeah, they work together. It's terrifying. All right,
according to the New England Aquarium on Google, it says they're perceived as man-eating monsters, but in reality, the majority are herbivores.
Oh, so it's BS. So they eat plants.
It's a great myth.
But if you were going to have a piranha death match, you still wouldn't risk it and put piranhas in there. You just find some like piranha-looking tank fish. And like, just make it look scary.
There's gonna be some. I don't know the name of fish scientists. There's gonna be some fish scientist nerd in the crowd. Like, actually,
ichthyologist?
Sir,
is that
theology? Is that what that is?
What is fish? That's birds, I think.
Yeah, fish.
Anyway,
like, actually, sir, that's not a piranha. That is a flesh-eating guppy. They don't.
A flesh-eating guppy sounds terrifying too. All right. Bloodline rules match is on the line. Yes. We can just call that checkoff stipulation because that's the other reason. There's no way that The Rock and Roman Reigns lose because otherwise the stakes for night two are just, I mean, why even mention a Bloodline?
Why even
match?
Do it? Yeah.
But I guess the flip side is,
why did they give us to us on Monday?
Give it a little preview, right?
I don't know.
So you think so? If Seth and Cody win, the stipulation is all of the Bloodline folks are bound or banned from ringside.
Ooh. Yes, 1-on-1, no Bloodline.
Does this mean that they can't come in black hoodies from the crowd?
There you go.
because they've been banned before.
Roman wins, find out, you know. They was supposed to come out there, but now Cody has a gripe because technically he can't challenge for the title again. But
if Cody Rhodes agreed to a match to where he would get no Bloodline interference,
mm-hmm.
after losing his championship match last year due to Bloodline interference, and another unnamed hooded Samoan cost him the match. He has the worst kayfabe wrestling lawyers in the history of kayfabe. How do you negotiate that match?
But remember, Cody didn't agree. Seth did.
That's true.
And what if that's the twist? Seth has said he has a plan B.
That's what he said? Is that he has a plan B?
This makes a lot of sense.
I always have a plan B. He said that backstage on Monday.
Mm.
And then there was a little smirk he gave The Rock.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to make us believe that, yeah, that's when Cody come out, the music. But what if those two are working in cahoots? Roman said on Jimmy Fallon, like,
he was a member. You think The Rock and Seth are in cahoots?
I think Seth is more in cahoots with the Bloodline than...
Yeah, they've been teasing at that a little bit.
Because Roman said on Jimmy Fallon, he's like, this guy was a part of our family. So he was like, he always called Seth his little brother. And he said, but, you know, we kicked him out.
Something out of the family. But Seth... attacked Roman Reigns to kick the whole thing off back in the day.
Yeah.
But no, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of just out of nowhere that like it's that Roman, the Rock and Seth are working together and Roman and Cody are both on the outs.
That's another one.
I don't know, but have you been keeping up with the social media streets this week?
A little bit. What did you see?
Did you see what happened with Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh Lord, nah.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin was at his pickup truck, right? He went to a pickup truck. He's like, "Yo, somebody left me these gifts."
Okay, I saw that.
And it was a basket of Easter eggs and some 316 beers on his pickup truck. And he's like, "I love this pickup truck. I've had this pickup truck for 21 years. You know how long ago 21 years ago was?" His last match against who?
Yeah, WrestleMania 19.
Against The Rock. So I'm like, yeah. And it's a basket of Easter eggs with beer in it.
Yeah.
If the perfectly framed shot from Cody's beatdown last week with Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena on the truck wasn't one Easter egg, they beat you over the head with it this week. When it was like, yo, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who if you saw on the Roman Reigns A&E documentary, looked in great shape.
Yeah, like he looked like
yeah,
I saw that.
He looked like if he was veiny as hell. I'm like, yo, Stone Cold looks like if he had one in him, he could make it happen.
I just don't see that. Why would you introduce such a outside? Like we haven't even discussed it.
Because Seth has said this is the biggest tag team match in the history of WrestleMania because it's for I forgot the exact quote, but he basically said it's for the future of the industry is on the line, is what mm-hmm. he said. And if Cody is down to literally nobody, and you know, you got to think about it. They've been doing Avengers Endgame up until this moment.
I know, but you got so many. It just seems so weird to introduce all these people out of nowhere.
Cody is the ultimate good guy.
All the heroes in Avengers Endgame had been in movies before.
Yes, yes.
Or were featured prominently in Endgame.
Cena was very featured prominently last time with Solo Sikoa. Stone Cold Steve Austin was very featured prominently with The Rock for most of his career and his last match. It makes all the sense in the world for Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin to have some beef with the Bloodline still. And Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock getting Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock one last time. To kind of help fight these things off. And if you're going to have a good couple dozen of nameless or not yet fully named Samoans surrounding the ring, yeah. You got to clear them out somehow.
No, it's true. It's totally. You're, I mean,
you
got to
clear them out somehow. Break that glass. And it just Samoans
flying.
But
you're talking about night two or night one?
I'm talking night two. Sorry. But I think that's what, you know, night one leads into.
Yeah, maybe. I just think if you were watching Avengers Endgame and they hadn't spent the movie introducing Captain Marvel, if they just, like, at the last second, somebody you'd never seen showed up and punched Thanos and that was the end of the movie, people would have rightfully been like, that's kind of weird.
Well, it's not necessarily that. Like, it's the scene. It is the scene of Cody or Captain America, Steve Rogers, the shield's broken in half, everybody's laid out. He knows he's licked. He knows he's not going to win this fight, but you know his saying, he's always going to say, I can do this all day. He tightens up the shield anyway. He walks towards the battle knowing he can't beat this army of people. And then he gets the PA and it says, Steve, on your left, boom, the portals start opening up. And as he's sitting there just beaten down from the last night, beaten down from the last 2 weeks on Raw, probably going to get his ass beat on SmackDown tomorrow before the Hall of Fame. Like, he's got to look absolutely fucking licked before somebody, anybody with a good conscience that doesn't want to see a guy who's worked this hard to do this come and make the save.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. It would just be a very...
I mean, Spider-Man and also Captain America had
met. If you have Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock in the same... I mean, they're not in the match, but involved in the same thing. We're just going to be sitting here screaming for Rock versus Austin at SummerSlam or next WrestleMania forever, and it's never going to happen.
So since it'll never happen. The Rock ain't going nowhere. He's on the board. Like, who said it won't happen? It may not happen tomorrow.
There's a Netflix special.
Who says it won't happen again, man? Like, and who doesn't want to see The Rock oversell a Stone Cold Stunner just one time this weekend? Who doesn't want to see him backflip into the ropes and flip all over the place?
I'm not saying we don't want to see it. I'm just saying this match already has everything. Like, we already have the stakes are so high. Anyway, but we're talking night two. Let's just talk night one.
Let's talk night one.
The Bloodline's going to win, right?
That's what I got.
Ryan?
No. But y'all go ahead. I don't think they're going to win. I'm sticking with this one. I would risk the money and win big by betting against the Bloodline.
Yeah, because you could get to the same place. But the Bloodline rules thing on Monday, I don't know. I think it just makes more sense if everybody is involved in night two. Sure. All the Bloodline members are out there beating people up. And then you do have to have some sort of big moment.
Mm-hmm. Yo.
Do you want to get on the mic?
She's pretty busy. She's pretty busy.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're not going to listen to Brian anymore. So regardless, that's your night one breakdown. Then we go to night two. The show opens with Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a lot of Seth drama on night one theoretically, but you also kind of want to keep the stakes steady for night two, right? It would upend this Drew McIntyre Seth Rollins match with CM Punk on commentary if Seth walks in as the biggest heel in pro wrestling, right? I mean, that would just be bizarre.
That would definitely put a unique spin on that.
And also, we got to go with this thing where, like, Seth is going to be hurt. Seth is going to be suffering in this match, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've said it before. Either Seth or Cody, the story has to be they're not 100% for their match.
Yeah. Drew said something on the promo where he's like, I'm not going to get the match I deserve. I'm going to get the match I earned.
How involved is CM Punk going to be in this match? Think he's going to get physical?
I think he gets physical. I thought he was going to get physical at WrestleMania. ever since I saw him at the WrestleMania kickoff conference.
Wouldn't this be a better situation for like him to try to get involved, and then Austin comes in to like pull him off, and then we get Punk Austin at some point? Isn't that the dream match?
I guess. But Drew's been talking a lot of shit for the past several weeks. He's got to get his eventually.
All right. What chance do you think Punk actually gets added to the match? He talked about he could kind of do something with that elbow. We think he like signs a non-disclosure, you know.
I mean, how release or whatever. Yeah,
I could see a world where Seth Rollins is too banged up to compete. Like maybe he's taken out of the match completely, and Drew's about to just awarded the match.
Why are you guys fantasy booking here? Like a couple of like 8-year-olds like hanging out at home, and he put me in the position of being like, no, come back to reality.
It's not happening. Sorry.
I just don't think Punk is. If Punk were in any shape to wrestle, he would be wrestling.
Yes,
I don't think they'd be doing this tease. Although I say that, and they had like the Kevin Owens, Steve Austin match where like we didn't even know if we had a match until Austin walked through until his music hit. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not even sure if that was technically a match. I guess the ambiguity is not out of the question. Do we feel like Drew's going to win? We got Clash of the Castle coming up.
Yes. Yes.
Going to walk in there with the title.
Yes. Yes. This is Drew's moment. And I know I've picked against Seth Rollins literally every World Heavyweight Championship match he's had for the past 4 months, but this seems like the time. This seems like the time for Drew.
You think we're going to get any cash in? Is there any cash in potential here or attempted cash in?
Yeah. I mean, what? The tag team title match is what?
Is night one.
Night one?
They lose
certainly
the belts.
A possibility.
Damian Priest comes in. I mean, if you really want to put Drew over, and again, this would kind of go against the flow of where we've been headed, but if Drew wins sort of dominantly because Seth is hurt, and then Priest comes in and cashes in and Drew just kills him too, that would be a good way to sort of establish Drew as the top guy.
Could. Or you could have, you know, Drew going into Scotland as a red hot, you know what I mean? Like, he's red hot right now.
Oh, he wins, loses the title to Damian Priest and has to go earn it, win it back in Scotland.
Maybe. That could be something.
I don't know if the world is ready for that. All right, then we got Io Sky versus Bayley, which I'm just so excited for.
Yeah.
LA Knight versus AJ Styles. We'll be talking about those guys later today, so stay tuned for that stuff.
It's going to be fun.
Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, now known as The Pride, versus The Final Testament or Bibles of Tomorrow?
The Bibles of Tomorrow.
The BOT?
I definitely just mad-libbed a bunch of like generic terms.
My gosh.
Like, yeah. The Bibles of Tomorrow.
Somewhere Jim Cornette is scribbling Bibles of Tomorrow on his legal pad saying, I don't know when it
was. I thought of Authors of Pain and Final Testament and then just Bibles of Tomorrow. It was like an AI-generated tag team name. Like,
that's why AI will never take over booking for WWE.
Somebody's going to create that team on WWE 2K24. If you do,
shoot us a
pick. Please send us a pick at Ring of Wrestling.
And then the main event, we have Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Maybe it's a Bloodline Rules match. Maybe the Bloodline's banned from ringside. I'll be so mad if the Bloodline's banned and there's still guys in hoodies.
Yeah, just let them just.
Although that would be a really cool thing. Oh, wait. Now I've got the fantasy booking going.
Okay, what we got?
Bloodline is banned from ringside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then Solo, Jimmy, guys start showing up in the hoodies and they start jumping over. They pull off the hood. Everybody's like, oh, no, not again. And then some other guys in hoodies jump out, and that's where it's Steve Austin. That's where it's John Cena.
Okay, you get that.
They got their own hoodies.
But you need the hoodies.
Should they be in white hoodies? Like, how are they?
We can't have the white hoodies. We can't have that. No. We cannot have that, especially here in Philadelphia. We got a bunch of Samoans, David. We can't do that. But no, you need the pop. You need the horns and the glass breaking. You can't sneak those guys in. You got to hear.
But remember, Bloodline banned from ringside, right?
Yeah.
There was a thing Paul Heyman said. What about Jay? And Roman said Jay always comes home.
So they're banned from ringside, but Jay, who is not technically a member of the Bloodline, can't get involved.
It helps Roman. And they have that hug and they embrace.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm trying to find any way Roman to keep the
title. I don't
know,
man. You're making it fun. And does them being banned from ringside prohibit them from standing far away from ringside and like shooting a Nerf gun into the ring? Could they throw quarters, you know, whatever, from like the back row?
Something, you know?
Water balloons would be great. It's just like Cody Rhodes just keeps getting smacked with water balloons.
Oh, no.
They get Stone Cold's beer guy in there just throwing cans of beer when Cody's not looking.
95% accurate rate, too. Just bang. Man, this guy's got great aim.
So is Cody going to win?
I think he is, but
I was on Bill's show. No, I was on Through the Ringer, and he said, What's your sure thing? Me and Ben were on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben said Cody winning. And I said, Cody winning, I don't even know how to talk about this in terms of odds.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that's almost like the highest odds of the weekend.
Right.
But in a funhouse mirror, like it also is like the highest odds of everybody being wrong. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, that's the one where the odds are just the most, like this is some weird subatomic particle shit where it's like the truth isn't really the truth.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He could really lose.
He could lose, man. Like, it's...
The crazy thing is, last year, we were also sure he was going to win. I said this on Bill's pod. He was like, has there ever been a WrestleMania finish that was more shocking than the Undertaker streak ending? And I was like, the only thing I can think of actually is Cody losing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had a football stadium of people who were just silent.
Yeah.
Just like, wait, what just
happened? Hollywood, California, where they're talking about finishing the story.
The crazy thing is, you were saying, a lot of people were saying, and I bought in to some extent, that having him lose, just it'll be even bigger next time. This is I don't know if I believed that at the time, but I did believe that the build up to that moment had been a little bit by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back from injury. Speaking of Cody, he wins the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's still kind of more invested in Sami Zayn. They did a good job of checking the boxes of making us care about the right things in that match. And by the time we got to WrestleMania, we all wanted Cody to finish the story. Yes, sure.
Right.
But I didn't know of him. I wasn't sure if him losing was the right thing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if it was going to get to the point that it is right now. I mean, this is unthinkable. But it did seem a little bit like there was more upside somewhere out there. How do we get there?
Right.
Right? I also think there was the bigger question is, what do you do on Raw? Because as big as Roman versus Cody was last year, do we really, like, how much less excited are we about even something Cody versus Gunther for the title? Like, oh, we're all excited. It's Cody versus Seth at that point.
Mm.
Like, there are a lot of things you could do that would be cool, but not you would not be matching that level of intensity. This year, but no matter who you were, and I'm including you in this, no matter how loudly you said, next time it'll be even better, because it was the right move for Cody to lose, you could not have imagined where we are right now.
No, you could not have
imagined, even with or without The Rock, the level of intensity that we have going into this match.
I just feel like...
But there's no way that you can make that argument again this year.
No.
I don't think Cody's going to lose, but even even if it was the right decision, maybe they have a great story for Monday Night Raw, maybe they have something planned, there's no way you can make the case we're going to do it for another year, right?
Unless.
I mean, there's just no way. There's no way you drag this out for another year.
The only way, and I mean the only way you do this, is if Cody wins, he's celebrating. Man, what a moment. The story is finished. He's crying. He's in tears. The confetti's flown down. The fireworks have been exploded.
Sure.
You get the end credit on the bottom. The Rock grabs the mic right afterwards. He's like, congratulations, Cody. You finished your story. And now a new one is just beginning. And don't ever forget, I'm your boss. Ref, ring the bell. And then you get
Rock. It's interesting that The Rock has been teasing this, but he's always been teasing it at Seth Rollins.
Right?
I'm going to make your title disappear. Right? Yes. Like, that's a... So...
But I don't know. I just think there is something... The only way Cody doesn't win this match and starts his journey as the Universal Champion or Universal Champion for WWE is if The Rock does something that truly flexes his power and really makes him the ultimate final boss, evil dude.
Wait, so maybe the more interesting question is this.
It could be argued that...
Who, if the Rock is going to be involved in this match one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. Maybe they drag it out till Monday. Maybe they just set, you know, wait till Monday night and the Rock's disappointed in Roman Reigns and sets up a match, you know, teases a match for SummerSlam or right. for whatever. But if you had to make a bet for on which side the Rock will come down on come Monday night, is he babyface or heel? Let's just put it that way. Are we setting up a future Cody match or a future Roman match for The Rock?
I think The Rock is having so much fun as a heel.
Yeah.
And he's doing so much good stuff. I don't think we're going to see babyface Rock for a long time.
Well, what about heel Rock versus babyface Roman? Do you think who do you think he's going to come at?
That was my thing.
If he ends up hurting someone's chances to win on Sunday night,
is he hurting
Roman Reigns?
I don't think he'd have
to. Roman Reigns out of the bloodline, or
yeah, I mean, listen,
or is he hurting Cody?
It could be argued that The Rock has done more carrying of this main event than Roman has, and he could say, like, dude, I carry this main event. I beat the snot out of this dude two times. I whipped his belt, put his blood on this thing. I gave you a bloodline rules match. I had the entire family out here, and you still lost.
Yeah,
you're not worthy of being the tribal chief anymore. Sure. You could strip it from him. You know what I mean? As the high chief, banish him from the family. Like, I think everything's done on purpose. I think the documentary, the timing of it came out on purpose because Roman looked real baby-facey.
There's been so much content
in that A&E documentary. They talked about, you know, how he's been, you know, still on these cancer treatments. And, like, anybody who's watched the documentary came out thinking, like, man, I still kind of want to see him as champion. Like, for everything he's sort of been through. But I just always thought the ultimate end game for Rock, Roman, Cody is babyface Roman. Like, the only way we get there is Roman eventually coming around as the ultimate, like, good guy again. The guy that they've been trying to make him into ever since he left the Shield. Mm-hmm. And it's happened. Wrestling is cyclical. Like, you become a monster heel for a long time, and they hate you long enough until they start liking you. And I think right now we're right at that point where people don't want to boo Roman Reigns. And I think it's all been strategic. Why The Rock has been doing most of the evil shit and doing most of the stuff that's been, you know, real heelish. So I think this is all setting up to eventually banishing Roman from the bloodline. And when
he
returns,
who does Heyman go with? Is Heyman Roman Reigns, Team Reigns or Team Bloodline?
I think he's got to be loyal to the. He's loyal to the title, man. He's not loyal to the. I don't think he's loyal to the Bloodline. He's loyal to whatever that title goes. So maybe he's a little bit more trying to kiss Cody's ass. Like, there's always been that sort of respect between each other, even though
they had that promo last year.
Like, he may not be all the way on Cody's side, but he's definitely going to be on the side of I want to get that title back somehow.
So final pick. Because we got to get out of here. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. You got to bet your children's scholarship fund.
I think Cody finishes the story. I think he's going to win the title.
He said it. He said it on First Take where he said, it's, you know, if I don't win, then that's just like a huge, what was the quote? He's like, if I don't win, then like, I can understand.
I might as well go to commentaries.
Oh, yeah.
I think he finishes the story, man. I think this is it for him.
I just think you got to up the stakes in the match. That's why the bloodline rules thing works for me. But I guess you could, like I always say, in wrestling, it doesn't matter which way, who wins or who loses. You can always do this, get to the same point in the story, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever story you're trying to tell. So it's either bloodline rules or it's bloodlines banned from ringside and they come in hoodies or Jay interferes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Odds have to be, but if bloodline rules match, you could have every Samoan walking the planet in there just like beating him down. Somehow the odds are somehow he survives and then he overcomes him and wins. I mean, I think Cody finishes the story.
I think he has to, because I don't think there's going to be a better, bigger opportunity to crown him as your new guy.
Yeah.
And I think when you got The Rock involved, like, he has the ability to crown people. He's a kingmaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a landmark WrestleMania. Usually, from 1 to 10 to 20 XL. To 30.
What's cooler, 40 happens. Or XL?
I think XL's cool, man.
Really?
It feels Super Bowl-ish.
The same way that they're looking forward to, like, the Bruno Sammartino records or, like, whatever, Honky Tonk Man title records with all these wrestlers and making their decisions based on that. At some point with the Roman numerals, you were just like, should we go back to numbers? And they're like, no, but XL is in 4 years.
Yeah.
We got to do XL. We got to sell XL hats. By the way, we got to go in the world yesterday. Got to check out the merch.
Insane.
It's crazy stuff over there. Crazy stuff over there.
I can't wait.
dude, if you're a Philly person at all, you can get your like Eagles jersey.
I saw that.
Knockoff. It's like the WrestleMania version. You can get like they have like Philly's hat with the WrestleMania logo. I mean, dude, there is just some nice looking stuff. And there, Mitchell and Ness had a whole thing, had a whole wall that didn't have any stuff on it yesterday. So nice. I gotta go see what Mitchell and Ness.
I gotta go see. I think the Fanatics touch to it is definitely gonna make everything a little different than last couple of years. Yeah.
We gotta get over there. We gotta start doing some interviews. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. We'll be back and we'll have a lot more content on the socials, on the podcast stuff. What are we doing on the Instagram?
We're taking over the Ringer Wrestling Instagram. Taking over the Ringer Instagram. The franchise. Okay.
We're going to have some, so check that out. We'll try to get some content up there. Tomorrow night, Friday night, Chickie and Pete, South Philly, 1526 Packer Avenue, from 5 to 7. We're doing a little meet and greet, hanging out, having some fun.
It's going to be a good time.
It'll be a great time. And SmackDown tomorrow night. Uh-huh. And the fun begins.
Nice, 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 nice.
That's it, guys. Oh, my gosh. The crew just walked in. The party's about to start.
Stack Guy Greg in the building. What's up, bud? Hey, guys.
Wale Mania's tonight.
Stack Guy Greg agrees with me.
We got Wale Mania tonight.
Rules will not take place this week.
Greg, night one main event. Who wins?
Seth and Cody.
Get in here, Greg. So
you're going to agree with Brian.
This is what I'm thinking right here. And I'm trying to put together the breadcrumbs that we're seeing. Out of nowhere...
Pick it up.
Roman calls Cody a politician. That has to mean something. So I'm trying to say, all right, what does that mean? What are the pieces that people are trying to put into play? We got Bloodline rules on Monday. They're not going to do the same thing in 6 days.
That's what Brian said.
So you got to work backwards from that.
Are they not going to, did they not just do it just to establish what the Bloodline rules?
They didn't have to though, because we saw Roman and Jay in a Bloodline rules match at SummerSlam.
No, I know we've seen it, but to remind us what it is and what the stakes are.
I mean, I don't think wrestling fans' memory is that short. especially with this Bloodline story where it only takes but so many major beats at the PLEs. Like, we've seen a Bloodline rules. We got it on Monday. We're not going to get it again.
Wrestling fans' memories are that short. Every single month, Solo Sikoa comes through the crowd in a hoodie and people are like, I don't know who that guy is.
It's a different hoodie. They're watching out for red hoodies before now. It's black hoodies you got to be in the lookout for. But yeah, we got it on Monday. We're not going to get it on Sunday. And I don't see Cody or Roman, the two men who are in both main events, losing both nights. So they're going to split it. Cody's going to get the one on Saturday.
And Roman's going to win on night two?
And Roman retains on night two. No Bloodline rules, and it's going to be a straight-up victory. And then people
Greg,
are going to say,
as much as I want that,
what is Cody going to do? And the answer is he's going to accept that he lost and maybe move on to another title. I don't know, but there's no way.
You know I'm a fan of chaos. There's no way they do both. You know I'm a fan of chaos. I really am. Yeah. The fan in me wants Roman to retain. Just for the sheer insanity of it, but it's
I want to survive weekend, guys. Yeah. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to be there. I want my last thought to be like, oh, I thought these seats were going to be so good, and now they're going to be the reason that I die. Right? No.
Another point that I do have to make too is that biography that we saw.
Look, the real baby face.
It was very heavy on the. This is actually Roman's story. And there's some things in that biography that he said that I think people overlooked in favor of other, obviously more sensationalized things that he said. But the two things that made me say, okay, I'm not so sure anymore. His brother who passed away, who he loved, who passed away, I think in 2017, before all of this came to pass, one of the things that he revealed that his brother told him among, I'm sure, many conversations is that his brother said, if you want to be a top guy and hold on to it, sometimes you gotta be an asshole and put your foot on people's necks. If this is not the weekend to be that person that his brother told him to be, I don't know what is. And then the other thing was when he mentioned winning the Rumble in Philly.
Oh,
and he said, this is a full circle moment for me. It's not so he could come back here and lose.
Golly.
That's not what would be so full circle and have him looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Everything you say.
I'm following breadcrumbs.
Everything you say has a little bit of, you know, legitimacy.
But if Cody wins and then The Rock and Roman Reigns somehow come to blows and Roman just takes out the, we will cheer Roman Reigns beating up The Rock, right? Can't Roman have his moment after all this stuff?
I think this is all leading to babyface Roman, right? Like, I think that's the ultimate goal here.
Suffering succotash is back, guys. On that note, we got to get out of here. Come to Wale Mania tonight.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a live show there with some very special guests. So pull up right when doors open. It's going to be a great time, man.
If you're a WWE world, come see us. We're on the stage, various stages, interviewing various people. It should be a lot of fun. Chicky and Pete's tomorrow night, Friday night, 5 to 7. Come see us there. Check socials, check Twitter, check Instagram. We'll be all over the place. And if you see us in real life, please come say hi. Thanks to Brian Waters, our producer. Thanks to Ben Cruz, our EP. Be sure to listen to all the great shows in the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. Apologies, as always, to John Moxley. We'll see you back here later today, probably.
Later today. Peace.